Good day, and welcome to the Citizens United 10 Years Later conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Marge Baker. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for joining this call. I'm Marge Baker, Executive Vice President at People for the American Way, a progressive advocacy organization of more than 1.5 million members fighting to build a democratic society that implements the ideals of freedom, equality, opportunity, and justice. Today, we are marking, not celebrating, the 10th anniversary of one of the most radical Supreme Court decisions of our times, Citizens United versus FEC. That decision and related ones have had a devastating effect on our democracy. In the decades since the Supreme Court handed down this appalling ruling, we have endured a relentless assault by corporations and wealthy special interests on a government that should be of, by, and for the people. The massive spending on our elections by these interests, overpowering the voices of everyday Americans, have led to devastating impacts that the people must live with every day, from racial inequity to environmental destruction to our struggle to provide people with affordable health care to much, much more. 10 years is long enough. The American people are ready to get big money out of politics so government can meet the needs of people, not just big corporations and powerful special interests. Today, we are joined by a stellar group of influential leaders, elected officials who have dedicated themselves to reforming our flawed democracy, and leaders of the major nonprofits and advocacy organizations that are fighting for those reforms. There is a movement building here, and we must nurture that movement. We'll start today by hearing from Senators Tom Udall and Jean Shaheen, who are leading the effort in the Senate to pass reforms addressing the issue of money in politics, including the For the People Act and the Democracy for All constitutional amendment to overturn cases like Citizens United. And then we will hear from Representative John Sarbanes, a longtime fighter for the cause, who successfully marshaled H.R. 1, the For the People Act, to passage in the House. We thank you all for your service and your incredible contributions to meaningful democracy reform. Let me now turn it over to Senator Udall. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Marge, for that very nice introduction, and it's an honor to work with all of you to defend our democracy, and always nice to be working with Senator Shaheen and Representative Sarbanes. 10 years after Citizens United, our democracy has reached a crisis point. Just look at the ever-increasing amount of secret money flooding our elections. The 2020 presidential election is expected to cost anywhere from $8 billion to as much as $10 billion. Much of this campaign money is coming from a small group of elite political donors. Less than half of 1% of Americans now account for nearly three-quarters of all spending. The result is that elected leaders are not responding to the needs of the people. And people across the political spectrum are becoming more and more cynical. They are despairing that powerful special interests control our government. Why can't we deliver common sense policies that the American people want, like quality, affordable health care, action on climate change, or preventing gun violence? It's because Citizens United and other court decisions have put our democracy up for auction to the highest bidders. We must make bold reforms, especially if our leaders are expected to regain the public's trust. That's why I introduced the For the People Act and the Democracy for All Amendment in partnership with Senator Shaheen, Congressman Sarbanes, and so many others. These measures would end the dominance of big money in politics and put our democracy back where it belongs, in the hands of the American people. But Republicans in the Senate have refused to vote on these bills. Senate Republicans must stop their blockade of common sense democracy reforms, because money does not equal free speech, and corporations are not people. We need to continue this hard work so that we can create a system that works for everyone, not just the rich and powerful. I'd like to thank you all again for being on this call, and now I'd like to hand this off to my friend, Senator Shaheen, who has been one of the leaders on this issue since day one.
Well, thanks so much, Tom, and Senator Udall and Congressman Sarbanes, thank you both for your leadership, and to all of the organizations who are represented on the call, thank you for your work to raise attention to what's happening because of Citizens United. I really wanted to use this opportunity to talk about a specific example that I think shows the confusion, the misinformation, and the destruction that happens in any given issue because of Citizens United. Most people on the call know about the issue of surprise billing. It's something that Congress has been struggling with. Surprise medical bills can often cost families tens of thousands of dollars and force many families into debt. Well, last summer across the country, ads started running in states with contested Senate races, and those ads raised questions about surprise billing, but did it in a way that was very confusing to voters. So these ads were sponsored by a group called Doctor Patient Unity. They were running in New Hampshire. We got a lot of calls into my office from people who were very confused, who weren't sure what the ads were about, who saw them and said, well, this is an issue for consumers. We're worried about what happens if Congress takes action on this issue. Well, turns out the funding behind the ads wasn't concerned about patients at all and consumers. What they were concerned about was the bottom line of two private equity companies who had invested in doctors' practices that specialized in surprise billing. They spent over $50 million across this country in ads. Some of them are still running in some states. And what was at stake was billions that they had invested. And the voters had no idea who was behind those ads until we saw some reporting by some of our media outlets that finally identified who was behind the ads. They created confusion. They meant that voters didn't know what to support, and it caused a reaction in Congress around trying to address this issue. So I think this dishonest campaign around surprise medical billing is Exhibit A and how broken our campaign finance system is. Those private equity companies could spend unlimited amounts of money. They never had to identify where the money came from and who was going to benefit from the ads that were being aired. Corporations are not people. They should not be granted special rights to hijack our democracy. The legislation that we are all supporting would overturn Citizens United. It would get big money out of politics. It would ensure our elected representatives reflect the will of the public and not corporations. Senator McConnell needs to stop obstructing, allowing those bills to come to the floor so we can give power back to the people. So again, thank you all very much for everything you're doing to address this issue. And I will turn it over to Congressman Sarbanes, who has been such a leader on democracy reform in the House.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Senator, and Senator Udall as well, for your incredible leadership on this issue. Everybody on this call has been working for 10 years at least to push back on the influence of big money. And we know that money has had undue influence in our democracy for many, many years. But what happened with the Citizens United case was it brought a kind of arrogance and swagger to the big money players because they saw now the opportunity to use their money to essentially take over American politics, operating in the shadows but pouring huge, vast amounts of dollars into campaigns and onto the political terrain in a way that has left so many Americans just feeling powerless out there. This is when the deep cynicism began. I mean, all of the bad things that we predicted would happen if the court came back with a ruling as they did in Citizens United, all those things have come true. The billions of dollars now being spent, and most importantly, this feeling out there in the public that insiders and big money players are calling the shots in Washington. That cynicism, in many ways, has led to the Trump presidency, because that anger got expressed with people kind of reaching for drastic solutions. And along came Donald Trump, said he would drain the swamp, and there were people who felt so left out and locked out that they reached for that solution. But Democrats have been working on a better solution, one that actually gives power to the people and not to any one politician. That was all channeled into the For the People Act on the House side. Last March 8th, we passed H.R. 1. It was the first bill that Democrats put onto the floor, the For the People Act. It was a promise that had been made to the electorate when candidates were running in 2018 that if you send people to Washington that have this as a number one commitment, they'll follow through. And we did that. And I want to thank Senator Udall for his leadership on the Senate side with the companion effort to H.R. 1, for his introduction of the Democracy for All amendment to directly address Citizens United. I want to thank Senator Shaheen as well for articulating so clearly why it matters, how big money can stand in the way of public understanding on issues and block progress on all the things that matter to everyday Americans out there. So H.R. 1 was a full-throated response to the Citizens United case. It requires a disclosure of where this dark money is coming from in a way that I think can help repair our democracy. It puts a cop on the beat by strengthening the Federal Election Commission. So in the home stretch of any election cycle, and we're going to be in that period soon, the FEC can be monitoring what these big money players are doing and trying to make sure that they follow the rules. It puts new rules in place with respect to lobbyists and super PACs and other measures. And very importantly, what the For the People Act does as well is it lifts up and empowers everyday Americans by creating a new system for funding campaigns in America where small donors can earn matching funds for a candidate. And that can be the way to power a campaign. A critical component of that system would be that fund that supports the matching of small donations would come from putting a surcharge on corporate lawbreakers. So in that sense, the people that have been leaning on our democracy, who've broken our democracy, those special interests, they're the ones that are going to pay to fix our democracy. That empowerment dimension is something that I think can restore the voice and the stakeholdership of everyday Americans out there and begin to address that deep cynicism. So again, thank you to everybody on this call who has been fighting so hard for the last 10 years. We are determined to finish this effort. We're going to push until we're successful, and with the support of Senators Udall, Shaheen, others who've been our allies on the Senate side, and everyone on this call, we're determined to win that fight. Mitch McConnell has blocked the door on the Senate side. We know that, but we're going to keep the heat on him until he relents, brings this kind of legislation to the Senate floor, and answers to the American people. So thank you again for all the work of the folks on this call, and I'll turn it back to the moderator.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Senators Udall and Shaheen and Rep. Sarbanes. We know there are a few other things happening today that you might need to address, but we really, really appreciate your sharing some of your time with us. Many thanks, and many thanks for all the work that you're doing. So now we'll hear from Rob Weissman, who is president of Public Citizen, an organization that more than any other has helped to build the dynamic coalition that has been aggressively fighting for these reforms over the past 10 years and, frankly, for many years before that. Rob will discuss, among other things, two reports being issued by Public Citizen today about the impact of Citizens United, Oligarch Overload and Corporations United. Rob?
Thanks, Marge, and thanks, everyone, for joining. I think it's fair to say that Citizens United is really the defining judicial decision of the era we live in, the new gilded age. It reflects and embodies and is perpetuating the extreme wealth inequality and the reality and perception among the public of a wildly rigged system that benefits the connected and the super rich and not everyone else. It turns out that that's a lot more than rhetoric, and I think the degree to which Citizens United has managed to concentrate power is underappreciated. The real thing, the real sort of concrete outcome, number one, from Citizens United was the vast increase in outside spending in our elections. In one of the reports we've issued today that Marge mentioned, we looked at the actual individuals who are making these contributions, and it turns out it is a very tiny number of people. So Senator Udall referenced the 0.01% who are responsible for the majority of all campaign contributions. But when it comes to super PACs, it is much fewer. The top 25 donors, one more than two dozen, the top 25 donors are responsible for nearly half of all the individual contributions that have gone to super PACs since the Citizens United decision was handed down. So we really are looking at an oligarchic situation. We did a race overlay of that analysis. We looked at the top 10 contributing majority white zip codes to super PACs versus the top 10 majority minority zip codes. The money from the white zip codes outdistances that from the majority minority zip codes by a ratio of more than 10 to 1. So we've really seen Citizens United empower this very, very small number of super rich donors and more generally white donors. A second report that we've issued looks at what corporations have been doing. It's sort of a conventional wisdom that, and not totally wrong, that the real impact of Citizens United was to empower the super rich, but the corporations haven't taken advantage of it. That turns out not to be true. And we've documented more than $500 million in corporate spending since the Citizens United decision, more than $300 million through disclosed spending, and more than $200 million to corporate trade associations. We know that that number is an undercount because of the dark money problem, but conservatively, we know that more than $500 million has been spent by corporations to influence elections since Citizens United was handed down. We've got a third report out today that lists 10 things, 10 sort of broad impacts from Citizens United. I just covered two of them. I can't get to the rest, except there is a final one, which is in some ways really the most crucial to highlight, which is that Citizens United, for all the extraordinary damage it has done, has also lit up a democracy movement that has resulted in the gains that the senators and Representative Sarbanes mentioned and has done more across the country in local localities and states. You're going to hear about that from my colleagues in just a moment. But I also wanted to be clear that it's not just that there's a handful of super energized grassroots advocates on this. It's not even a handful. It's millions of Americans. But all Americans are outraged with the citizens, with the situation with big money influence in politics. Polls consistently show more than 9 in 10 Americans expressing disgust. More than 3/4 of Americans support a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United in poll after poll. A couple years ago, the New York Times, reporting on its own polling, wrote that with near unanimity, the public thinks the country's campaign finance system needs significant changes. The only divide among Americans is whether they prefer fundamental change or to completely rebuild the system, and it's actually hard to figure out which one is the more aggressive posture. So Americans are demanding change. You know, I think that the number one example of how Citizens United has blocked reform probably is in the space of democracy reform itself. The only reason this overwhelming and intense demand for reform has not yet been matched by responsive legislation and a constitutional amendment is because of the influence of this small number of super rich people and giant corporations. But their day is coming to an end, as the next set of speakers are going to explain in some detail. Thank you all so much, and thank you, Marge. Back to you.
Thanks so much, Rob. And now we'd like to move to two folks who are going to give us a little bit more background on both the sort of the legal flawed legal underpinning of Citizens United and also what we can do to counter and combat Citizens United while the decision is currently the law of the land. So first we're going to start with Dan Wiener, who's Deputy Director of the Election Reform Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, and then go to Fred Wertheimer, President of Democracy 21. Dan?
Thanks so much, Marge. It's really a pleasure to be here today on behalf of the Brennan Center. I'm going to review the legal background on Citizens United, but I do want to just quickly flag before, along with the excellent research Public Citizen is putting out, we also have a new analysis today just underscoring how much Citizens United has unbalanced the fundraising landscape in federal elections to the point that in 2016, the 400 donors who gave $1 million or more in federal races outspent all the millions of people who made small contributions. So it really has skewed our system radically. The decision that brought us to this point has obviously been subject to a huge amount of criticism. It's the most, I would say, the most high profile in what are really a series of decisions over the last decade linked together by what Justice Elena Kagan has called a weaponized vision of the First Amendment, harnessed not to protect dissenters and underdogs, but rather the most powerful interests in our society. But I think what gets less attention is how flawed the court's reasoning was even on its own terms. The core holding in Citizens United was this idea that so-called independent spending by corporations and others by its nature doesn't give rise to a sufficient risk of corruption to justify limiting it because independent spending just isn't that valuable to candidates. That was probably wrong, but in any event, what we know is that most of the new spending greenlighted by the decision was anything but independent. Most of these groups have very close ties to candidates, and in fact, candidates frequently fundraise for them. In the Ukraine scandal, the Giuliani associates Parnas and Fruman lobbied a sitting congressman at a super PAC fundraiser to help remove Ambassador Yovanovitch. That was one of only a number of predictions the court itself made in Citizens United that was wrong. As Senator Shaheen underscored, the court had predicted that all the spending would be transparent. They waxed prosaic about transparency in the internet age. We know that didn't pan out. There's been more than $1 billion in dark money since 2010, mostly concentrated on the most competitive races. And of course, dark money is a conduit, a very, very easy conduit for foreign money to infiltrate our elections. You'll remember President Obama himself predicted in 2010 that Citizens United would open the floodgates of foreign spending in our elections. Justice Alito, famously at the State of the Union, was caught on camera shaking his head, mouthing not true. Well, it was true. And again, the Ukraine scandal is a great example of that. So really, even the court's own analysis of its decision has proven to be manifestly wrong. But the good news is that these are mostly the result of regulatory failures and gaps in the law that can be fixed. And I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker to tell you how we're going to do that.
So thanks.
Fred,
this is from,
take it away.
Fred Wertheimer from Democracy 21. Citizens United legalized in federal elections what has long been the most corrupting money in American politics, unlimited contributions and secret money. The decision authorized the direct participation of corporations in federal elections for the first time in more than 100 years. As long as Citizens United is the law of the land, political money corruption in Washington is here to stay, and it will only grow unless candidates have a new way to finance their campaigns that allows them to run for office without being dependent on influence-seeking funders. And I want to repeat that. Political money corruption in Washington will not end, will never end, until candidates have a different way to finance their elections. The For the People Act that Representative Sarbanes and Senator Udall took the lead on in Congress and that passed the House last year includes such a new alternative financing system for federal candidates, public matching funds for small donations. As Rep. Sarbanes mentioned, one of the new aspects of this system is for the first time the public funding would not be paid for by taxpayers, but by corporate lawbreakers who would pay a small surcharge on the penalties they pay to the government for breaking the law. Now, here's what the new system would allow. It would allow candidates to run for office free from dependency on influence-seeking funders. And that is almost impossible today for most candidates and office holders. It would empower ordinary Americans by matching their small contributions with multiple public funds, making them far more important to candidates, and greatly diluting the role of big money in American politics. It would create opportunities for new candidates to run competitive races for office. And it would allow office holders to spend far less time raising money and far more time representing their constituents. We passed H.R. 1 in the House. There are 47 co-sponsors in the Senate. If a reform-minded president and Congress are elected this November, we will be on the doorstep of creating an historic and essential new system for financing presidential and congressional elections. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much to Dan and Fred. Now I want to move on to another important development over the past 10 years, which has been the dynamic growth in the movement to pass a constitutional amendment to address the harmful effects of Citizens United and related cases. We'll hear now from Rio Tazwell, who's the campaign's manager for People for the American Way, to discuss these developments. Rio?
Thanks, Marge, and very much appreciate everyone taking the time to join us on this call today. As the other speakers have discussed, the challenges presented by Citizens United and the rise in outside spending are certainly dire and having a detrimental impact on a broad array of issues. But fortunately, there has been a diverse and powerful movement that has come together, not just for democracy reform at large, as embodied by For the People Act, as discussed, but also specifically for a constitutional amendment, as embodied by the Democracy for All Amendment, also as discussed. And in the past 10 years since Citizens United, we've seen quite significant development on a number of fronts, specifically for an amendment in terms of public opinion, support in Congress, progress on the state and local level, and all kinds of grassroots organizing and efforts. And this movement, which has been birthed and grown in the past decade, has largely been driven by organizations, many of which are represented on the call today, which cumulatively represent tens of millions of members. And when the Supreme Court handed down this decision in January of 2010, there was really just a small handful of groups that were working on an amendment to get money out of politics, but it's grown quite significantly in the past decade, and currently we have over 120 organizations that have come together to build support, not just for an amendment in general, but specifically for the Democracy for All amendment. And collectively, this coalition of 120 organizations and growing has generated countless calls into Congress, submitted countless letters to the editor all across the country, organized grassroots events, in-district lobbying efforts, D.C. lobbying efforts, and produced untold numbers of petition signatures in the millions, which have been delivered to representatives in Washington and in state capitals all across the country. And it's understandable that these groups have seen such a response from their members around this issue, because polling consistently shows that a vast majority of the population supports reforms to big money in politics, consistently showing 70, 80, even 90% of the population supports these types of reforms, including strong majorities of Republicans and Democrats. So it's not a partisan issue across the country. People from across the political spectrum support these reforms, and that's evidenced in polling that's included in a report that we put out today on our website, if you'd like to see those links. Also, there's a lot of progress that's been happening on the state and local level. 20 states have passed measures in support of a constitutional amendment, all in the past 10 years, and over 800 localities have also passed measures in support of a constitutional amendment to overturn Supreme Court cases like Citizens United. And we actually have a list of all of those at our website, unitedforthepeople.org. It's also linked to in the report on our website at pfaw.org. And these measures that have passed in states and in localities all across the country are passing by pretty large margins, consistently passing by 60, 70, even 80% support, which is quite significant, particularly in today's highly polarized environment. And over 141 million Americans, almost half of the population, 46% of the population, in fact, live in a state or a locality that has supported an amendment. And this includes red states, it includes blue states, and it includes swing states. So there's a broad movement that's growing rapidly across the country in states everywhere, red and blue America. And all of this, you know, is reason to believe that our movement for an amendment is at a tipping point and will continue to grow. And working closely with our champions on the Hill, some of whom we heard from earlier, we're confident that we'll continue to advance these reforms. Already we see a lot of members getting on board with HJRES 2, the House version of the Democracy for All Amendment, which we're continuing to build support for, currently at 205 co-sponsors already and growing, and very much excited to continue building on the momentum that we've already generated to advance it the rest of the way over the coming months and years. Back to you, Marge.
Thanks, Rio. Thanks, Rio, very much. As several speakers have noted, there's significant organizing in the states on the amendment, but also on other reforms. And this is happening because the American public is making the connections between money and politics and their daily lives. To put that in a little bit more context, we'll now hear from Tiffany Muller, who is president of End Citizens United Action Fund. Tiffany?
Thank you so much, Marge, and thank you to the senators, the other speakers on the phone, Congressman Sarbanes, all of you for your steadfast leadership on these issues. Our mission's pretty clear from our name. We want to end Citizens United, and along with our 4 million members, we're committed to unrigging the corrupt system in Washington so it works for everyone, not just the big corporations and the rich. And all of the speakers so far have made it clear exactly what the Supreme Court unleashed with the decision. Citizens United has essentially given wealthy donors and corporations veto power over issues that are important to the American people, whether that's addressing gun violence, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, or protecting our planet's future. Americans want Congress to address climate change, but nothing happens. 10 of the 17 biggest corporate contributions in 2018 were from oil and gas companies, and they all supported Republicans. Not one U.S. senator has supported major climate legislation since the Citizens United decision. Prior to the Citizens United decision, though, there were 14 instances of Senate Republicans joining with Democrats to help support climate change. Pharmaceutical companies are ripping Americans off, but Congress does nothing. The industry's corporate PACs have spent over $141 million in federal elections since 2018, and just last month, Bloomberg reported that executives from the top five drug companies have given $370,000 this cycle. The top recipient? Senator McConnell, who has refused to even bring up drug pricing bills for members of his own party. And the House has passed a bill to expand background checks, something supported by over 90% of Americans. But again, the Senate refuses to act. In the 2016 election, the NRA spent $35 million in dark money, the most it had ever spent in an election cycle. But what happens when those same wealthy donors want something? Well, all we have to do is look at the 2017 tax bill as the perfect example. Members of Congress admitted the bill was about pleasing big donors, and 2 weeks after it passed, Charles Koch donated $500,000 to Speaker Paul Ryan. A New York Times headline 2 months later declared, "Trump tax cut unlocks millions for a Republican election blitz." So we have to change this. Citizens United took a bad system and it made it worse. And Americans deserve better. They demand better. It's time for Senator McConnell to allow a vote on the For the People Act and get Washington working for everyday people, not just big donors and wealthy special interests. Thank you so much. I'll turn it back to you, Marge.
Thanks so much, Tiffany. And finally, to put a little more detail on the local and state-based organizing that's going on, I'd like to turn this over to two of my colleagues who are doing an incredible amount of work in this area, Karen Hobart Flynn, who is president of Common Cause, and then Joe Reddy, who is the Democracy Program Director at USPIRG. Karen?
Thanks, Marge. I'm really happy to be here and represent the 1.2 million members of Common Cause. We also have 30 state chapters, and since 1970, we've been passing democracy reforms at the national, state, and local levels to put power back into the hands of people. Thanks to the leadership of Senators Udall and Shaheen and Congressman Sarbanes for their incredible work on the For the People Act, we believe it's historic and unprecedented to have all congressional Democrats on record supporting transformational democracy reform. H.R. 1 For the People Act, as you know, contains many key tested reforms that have passed at the state and local level, and we've outlined that in a report last year called the For the People Act in the States. After Citizens United, as it became increasingly clear that congressional Republicans worked to block fundamental democracy reforms in Congress, like filibustering the Disclose Act in 2010, it became clear that states have truly become the place where experimentation and progress on democracy reform is happening. While getting big money out of politics is a partisan issue in Washington, D.C., amplifying the voices of small donors, increasing transparency, and other common sense solutions continue to pass around the country, often with bipartisan support. Since 2010, many states, often with Common Cause's leadership, have passed dozens of reforms addressing strong disclosure. And in fact, many states are looking at doing disclose-like reform and have passed that in Rhode Island, New Mexico, and Massachusetts. Small donor citizen-funded elections, where we've seen both reforms happening where people are strengthening programs in places like Los Angeles, New York City, and Maine, but also passing new reforms in Oregon, in Washington State, in Denver, Colorado, Seattle, and many other places. We've also successfully passed many ballot initiatives. In our report, Democracy on the Ballot, we highlight key successful disclosure, small donor matching fund systems, and resolutions to overturn Citizens United in red, purple, and blue states that have been approved by ideologically diverse voters in recent years. New Mexico and Maryland have been especially leaders in strengthening our democracy, and we want to give a big shout-out to Senator Udall and Congressman Sarbanes for all their work to help pass small donor matching fund systems in localities throughout New Mexico and Maryland, respectively. As state legislative sessions begin and ballot initiative planning continues in 2020, we're really excited about passing additional money and politics reforms in Arizona, Oregon, and Virginia, among other states. We need to continue the bottom-up pressure on Congress by passing additional state and local reforms. Only then will congressional Republicans catch up to what Republican, Democratic, and independent voters already know, that we must get big money out of politics and amplify the voices of everyday Americans in our democracy to put we the people back in charge and send Citizens United to the dustbin of history. Thank you.
Joe?
Hi, yeah, this is Joe Reddy. I'm the Democracy Program Director with USPIRG, and I'd like to thank everybody here again for all of their hard work in the fight for our democracy. The USPIRG is a federation of over 30 independent state-based public interest research groups, and since the 70s, we've delivered results-oriented citizen activism, stood up to powerful interests, and won real results on issues that matter. And for me, it's hard to think of an issue that could possibly matter more than our democracy. As we've talked about, the Citizens United decision has been a disaster, and for my money, most significantly, it's led to directly to billions of dollars of outside spending that's just drowned out the voices of everyday people. So, you know, while many of us could give $50 or $100 to our favorite candidate, the vast majority of Americans can never be able to spend the kind of money a corporation or a billionaire can to influence an election. And in a democracy founded on the principle of one person and one vote, the size of your wallet shouldn't determine the size of your voice. And as we've gone through, we need to amend the Constitution to fix this problem. And communities are calling for amendments to do just that. But as we also know, it's been 10 years. A constitutional amendment takes time. And so I'd like to highlight some of the immediate opportunities that that exist for reform at, you know, every level of our government, from cities and states, counties, and how, you know, these communities across the country are seizing these opportunities. Karen aptly highlighted some of the public financing systems that match small dollar donations in cities like Baltimore and Washington, D.C. and New York City, and states like Maine and New York itself. I'd like to spend a little more time highlighting just some of the incredible story of democracy's growth in and small donor empowerment growth in Maryland, because since 2014, starting at the county level, three counties have established small donor public financing campaign systems. Just this year, Baltimore City Council, or last year, Baltimore City Council passed a similar bill that will become law later this year. And all of that sort of growing grassroots community action build its pressure to pass a statewide bill that will be introduced later this session. And I think the story here is really that what's happening in Maryland can happen anywhere in the country and is happening in many places. And we can use the tools of our democracy to rebuild our democracy from the ground up. And rebuilding our democracy has never been more important. So to solve our country's challenges, we really do need every voice to matter. And we need to follow the lead of cities and states and overturn Citizens United.
Thanks so much. Thanks again to Senators Udall and Shaheen and Rep. Sarbanes for joining us, and to all of my incredibly impressive colleagues. Operator, we're now able to take questions from listeners.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Again, that's star 1 if you would like to ask a question. I am not showing any questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, if there are no questions, then we're going to sign off. But thank you all so very much for being on, and we will be making a recording of this available. And thanks again to everybody for all the incredible work you're doing.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.